We will never know it on this side of eternity, but it would be a great thing to do. So keep that in your prayers. There was something else I was supposed to announce too. I don't remember what it was, but all right. Well, anyway, Mark chapter 7. Yes. Yes, the written prayer request sheets. We have, there's some in here inside this, inside the library. There's also some downstairs in that entryway. And if you have prayer requests, make sure that you write those things in one of those two locations. What we'll do is we will compile those each week, and that way we can make sure we get everything.
After you're ready, Saturday at 6. I just looked it up.
Amen. Saturday at 6. Saturday at 6. Okay, so it is Saturday at 6. The parade route starts at 6. Right, okay, so, okay. I'll make sure I remember that. But parade route starts at 6th Street, okay? And then it goes all the way down to the Civic Center. And so we'll figure out where we're going to meet, but it is Saturday at 6. All right, Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, I believe we were starting at verse 1. It says, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault." You know, there are a lot of people, a lot of phrases that we use today come from the King James Bible. And when we say, well, that person's always finding fault, that's where you get that. I mean, have you ever met somebody that constantly found fault with things? Well, that's what these Pharisees were like. They found fault. "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables." Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whosoever curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do." Now, when this discussion between Jesus and the Pharisees took place here, Jesus and the disciples they were in the land of Gennesaret, which is a fertile region on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it was also it is also called the land of the fertile plain. And Jesus and his disciples had recently landed there on shore after they had been on the Sea of Galilee when, if you'll remember, Jesus was seen walking on the water. Okay, that happened just before they came on the shore there at Gennesaret. And so here Jesus and his disciples, they come on the shore there. And the Bible tells us that the people there began to carry about the beds of those that were sick, where they heard Jesus was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick on the streets and besought him that they might touch if it were but the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. So the second he gets on the shore there, these people were taking their sick to Jesus, and they were just wanting to just touch his garment, trying to get their sick healed. But now they had gotten away from the crowd for a while, And they began to get together, Jesus and disciples, and they were all eating there. And while they were eating, it was then that the Pharisees from Jerusalem walked up and saw them eating bread. But the Pharisees started complaining because the disciples had not washed their hands before they ate. Talking about putting your nose in somebody else's business. Amen? I mean, can you imagine if you go out to a local restaurant and you're sitting there with your family and you start eating and somebody walks all the way across the room and says, I saw you eat without washing your hands. What are you thinking? Now, how would you react to that? Wouldn't you say, well, boy, that's kind of bold for somebody to do something like that? Well, they walked up to Jesus and did this, okay? And now you'll notice that these Pharisees, they seem to always come around and find fault with Jesus and his disciples. But I want to point something out here, and that's something actually very important, and that is if the Pharisees noticed that the disciples of Jesus had not washed their hands before eating that bread, does it make sense that they had to be watching those disciples very closely? Yeah. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? May I tell you that this world, the second that you say that I'm a Christian and I'm a follower of Christ, this world is going to watch you very closely and see if you do things that they think is wrong. See if you do things that they believe is against the law. And so these Pharisees had seen the disciples eating without washing their hands, and they complained, saying that it was wrong for them to do that. May I tell you, there's nothing wrong with eating bread without washing your hands first, at least from a biblical perspective. The Bible does not say you have to wash your hands before you eat anything. Now, you may disagree with that on the basis of hygiene, and maybe you were raised to wash your hands, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, listen, even though the words cleanliness is next to godliness is not found in your Bible, that's a pretty true statement. Amen? And so, but what I want to point out is the Bible never says that you have to wash your hands before you eat. Okay? That's what the Bible doesn't say that. But according to these verses, it was a tradition of their fathers that the people washed their hands before they start eating. Now, the Bible is clear as to what is Scripture and what is tradition. If it's in the Bible, then it's obviously Scripture. If it's not in the Bible, it's either a conviction or it's tradition. And just because something is tradition doesn't mean that it's evil or bad. A lot of people today, especially during the time of Christmas, Thanksgiving, and some even around Easter, people start saying, well, that's a tradition, so therefore it's sinful. No, traditions themselves are not sinful, not necessarily. But how many of you know that we have this tendency where we can make something that isn't sinful, sinful? We do that. For example, I'll give you an example. TV by itself is not sinful, but the people that put the stuff on TV have made it to where you can't watch half of it. Amen? We have this way of corrupting things. And just because something is tradition doesn't mean that it's evil or bad. And within the church, in this church, we have traditions. Okay? For example, our music style would be a tradition. It is. Bible doesn't tell you, Bible tells you hymns and spiritual songs and psalms. And we do that, but not every song that we sing would fall as a psalm. Not every song that people sing it would necessarily fall as a hymn. There have been specials that have been sung here, but we have a certain style of song and music that we have here, and that is based on tradition, okay? The order of service that we have, that's based on tradition. Times of worship service. Nowhere in that Bible does it say Sunday school starts at 9:30. Amen? It doesn't say that. So we make times for services, and that is tradition. The use of committees, that's tradition. Having business meetings, that's tradition. Now, you say, well, is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with those things, okay? But we got to be careful that we don't make the mistakes with traditions that these Pharisees made. We are not to misuse traditions. Now, how did they misuse their traditions? Well, first of all, their traditions contradicted Scripture. Their traditions contradicted Scripture. Look, if you would, there in Mark chapter 7. Look, starting at verse 10 again. It says, For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die to death. Now, when he said, and Moses said, He's referring to the written word that Moses wrote. Okay? Now, you could make the argument that Jesus was there when Moses said it, but he's talking to these people like they shouldn't already know this. Now, the only way those Pharisees would know what Moses said is they had to read the first five books of the Bible. Amen? So what he's doing here, he's referring to Scripture when he says, for Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whosoever curses the father and mother, let him die to death. But then he says this, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, or whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Notice here, when he says, but ye say, he's saying the scriptures say one thing, but you're saying something else. Now listen, if the scriptures say one thing, and they say something else, then they're saying something that contradicts scripture. Amen? That's what they're doing. And so these Pharisees, what they had done is they basically made a tradition that they did not have to take care of their mothers and fathers in their old age. And they figured that they didn't owe their parents anything, and they felt that anything that they did for their parents was nothing more than a gift out of the goodness of their heart, and they believed and taught that they were not obligated to take care of their parents at all. The traditions of the Pharisees contradicted Scripture. It did. Now, here are some examples today of traditions being taught that contradict Scripture. Here are some examples. Example number one. Peter is the head of the church. That's a tradition that's taught, and that contradicts Scripture. You know who the head of the church is? It's Jesus Christ. You remember when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church? He wasn't looking at Peter and saying, upon you I'll build my church. He said, upon this rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. Okay? And so that's a tradition that contradicts Scripture. Here's another one. Mary retained her virginity during and after the birth of her son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you read the scriptures say that Jesus had half brothers and half sisters. You know what that means? That means she is not the Virgin Mary today. She was a virgin when she gave birth to Christ, but that's it. So to teach anything other than that, that contradicts Scripture. Here's another one. Mary was born without original sin. That's tradition. Mary was born the same way everybody in this room was. She had a tendency to sin just like everybody else. And she needed saving like everybody else. Here's another one. Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul. No, she wasn't. No, she wasn't. Listen, when Mary died, same thing happened to her. Actually, she went down to Abraham's bosom. Well, if she died after Christ, she'd actually go up to heaven because he led captivity captive. But when she went up, it would be no different than us going up today. You don't get your body until rapture day, folks. Okay? And so those are just some examples of traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation, not in Baptist churches, but they are tradition, and those traditions contradict Scripture. Our traditions are never to contradict Scripture. Nothing we do is supposed to contradict Scripture. And so every one of those things, they were unscriptural traditions. And that's what these Pharisees had done. They had started to teach the traditions of their fathers, and those traditions contradicted the Bible. And because they had done that, Jesus said to them, ye hypocrites, ye hypocrites. Remember, whenever you see the word hypocrite in your Bible, it refers to people who are not generally who they claim to be. It refers to actors. People who pretend to be something that they're not. Today, that same definition would fit when it comes to the word hypocrite today. Today, if a person wants other people to think he's spiritual, so he acts spiritual. But everybody can see that he really isn't spiritual at all. We would look at that person and say, that guy's a hypocrite. That's what we would say. And yes, the church is full of hypocrites. It is. But then again, so is Walmart. Then again, so is the restaurant that you eat at. Everywhere. Then again, so is every household in this room. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you'd say such a thing. You know how many parents I've heard say, now children, do as I say, not as I do. I don't want my children to be like I was. You see, you know what that's called? It's called hypocrisy. It is. And listen, We are all hypocrites to a point in some area. In some area. Listen, every one of us would, in some area of our lives, we would like for people to think that we're actually better than we actually are. Either we're more knowledgeable, or more of an authority, or whatever. And whatever it is in our lives, there's some area where we want people to think more highly of us than we really are. That's a lack of genuineness. You know, I'll tell you this. You know, one of the things we do, we don't like to bring up the bad things that we have in our lives. We want to keep those things ourselves, and that's fine with me. Amen. Because I got enough to handle my own. I don't need to hear about everybody else's. But at the same time, we get to the point to where we act like everything is fine. We act like we don't have spiritual struggles, when every one of us do. You know what that is? That's pretending. It is. What's your point, Patrick? What I'm trying to say is yes. You know, when I hear people, and I go out and witness to somebody, and they say, well, you know, I would go to church, but church is full of hypocrites. I ain't going to go there, a bunch of hypocrites. I'm thinking to myself, that's the dumbest excuse I've ever heard in my life. Because, listen, if you don't want to hang around hypocrites, don't look in the mirror. Because you're going to see one there too. Yeah. Amen? And so, you know, everybody's a hypocrite to a point. We're all hypocrites in some area of our lives, but the difference is, when it came to these Pharisees, these people were supposed to be teachers of the scriptures. They were supposed to be the ones who helped others spiritually. They were supposed to be the ones who had the knowledge of the law and set the examples for others and how to obey scripture. And yet they were pretenders, they were actors. So Jesus said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, folks, if there's anything that right there should alarm somebody, it's that right there. You know what he just said? He said, you people are pretenders. You're pretending to draw nigh unto me with your mouth and honor me with your lips, but it's all an act. I'm just going to tell you, I think that there's a lot of people in churches today that say they're Christians that may not be Christians. And they're acting just like these Pharisees. They're pretending just like these Pharisees. And may I tell you, that passage right there, when he says that, you know what that means? That means Jesus Christ knows your heart. You can act and pretend all you want to and fool everybody in this room. And you can say, man, you know, I was saved on this date and I love the Lord and all that. But listen, folks, if you're pretending, you may fool us. Maybe you'll fool us with that. But you ain't going to fool God. He knows. He looked right at those Pharisees and he said, you know what, you're a bunch of pretenders. You're trying to act spiritual. You're trying to act like you know God. You're trying to act like you and God are close. But you're fakes. You're fakers. And so these hypocrites, or these Pharisees, they came up and they were complaining about them not worshiping their hands because there was traditions. But like I said, not all traditions are unscriptural and not all traditions are bad. In fact, in the Bible, there are traditions that are talked about that are good. Paul said this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. He said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our apostle or our epistles. The traditions that Paul is talking about here are traditions that are based on the truth of Scripture. That's what they're talking about. So, I mean, if your traditions are based on the truth of Scripture, it's okay. But what they were doing, what they were teaching, was something that was in contradiction to the Scriptures, which is not okay. Okay? And so you say, well, give me an example of some of our traditions that are based on Scripture. Okay, how about Sunday school? Can you find anywhere in the Bible where it says we're supposed to have Sunday school? Or children's church? It's not there. It's not there. But it is based on Scripture. You say, what Scripture? Listen to 2 Timothy 2:24. It says, and the servant of God must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Apt to teach, patient. Boy, I tell you what, that's something that you definitely see downstairs during the children's church and during Sunday school. Apt to teach and being patient. Amen? So would you agree that Sunday school then is based on Scripture? It is a tradition, but it's based on Scripture. Okay? So traditions that are based on scriptures are fine, but the traditions that are not based on the truth of the scriptures, that are in contradiction to scriptures, are not fine. So any traditions that we may have, they must not contradict scripture. They must not. Here's the second way that the Pharisees had misused traditions. They made their traditions the authority over the scripture. Not only did the traditions that they had contradict scripture, but they actually made those traditions the final authority over the scriptures. That's what they did. Now, look, if you would, starting in verse 2, I'll show you. It says, "Why do the disciples transgress the traditions of the elders?" they said. "For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions?" In other words, you are putting the word of God here, and then you're putting your traditions here. You say, "I can't believe they do that." I'm going to say something here, folks, that's going to catch you by, well, it may catch you by surprise, but do you know that the Jews still do that today? The Orthodox Jews still do that today. They take the writings of all the rabbis that they have today. That is their main thing that they count on. That's the thing that they go to. That's the thing that they read. That's the thing that they live by. But the scriptures take second fiddle to that when it comes to Orthodox Jews. Not a lot's changed. That's the same thing that happened here. They were taking the traditions and put them here and God's word down here. In other words, they made their traditions the final authority. The final authority for us is supposed to be the Bible. The Bible is our final authority in all matters, in all practice. It is to be the word of God. Now, there are believers today, or professing believers today, all around who do not recognize the Bible as their final authority in all matters. There are those who say the Pope, whatever the Pope says, that goes. Well, listen, the Bible is supposed to be the final authority, not the Pope, what he says, okay? The Mormons today believe the Book of Mormon is a higher authority than the Bible. How do you know that? Because if you start to talk to them about what the Bible says, they'll say, "Yeah, but look over here in the Book of Mormon." It helps you understand that a little bit more. It sheds some light on that a little bit more. What they're doing is they're saying, "Okay, yeah, there's the Bible, but here's the Book of Mormon. This is the one that really should be your final authority." That's what they're doing. No different than what the Pharisees were doing. There are some saved believers today who think that what their favorite preacher preaches and teaches is a higher authority than the Word of God. Listen, it doesn't matter what this preacher preaches or what any preacher preaches. The final authority is the Word of God. In other words, what the Bible says, that's it. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what another preacher says. If the Bible says one thing and I say the other, your final authority is always supposed to be that Bible. Why? Because Bob Crowder and every preacher on this planet is not perfect. But those are the perfect inerrant word of God that you got right there. Those are the actual words of God. And he doesn't make mistakes. Everything he says is absolutely true. Why in the world would people take the word of a pastor or a preacher over the word of God? Why would you do that? I'm just like you. I mean, I make mistakes. I misread things. I believe things that aren't right, and then I have to correct it because I'm constantly finding things, well, yeah, maybe I was a little bit off on that. But you know what? God ain't off on anything. And listen, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I believe. What matters is what the Word of God says. But there are some people today that take what preachers say and they make that the final authority. In fact, there are some people today, in fact, a lot of people today, that will tell you that there are mistakes in your Bible and that there is no perfect Word of God on earth today. And the reason they say that is because they want themselves to be the final authority. You see, if that Word of God isn't the final authority, then they could say, "Well, I believe that Scripture's saying this, and I believe that Scripture's saying that." And you say, "Well, why would they do that?" Listen, if a person really believed today, if you really believe that this right here, that this Bible that you hold is the perfect, actual words of God written on paper, if you actually believe that, then it would have to be your final authority. Well, it would have to be. And you'd be obligated to do what it told you to do. But nobody wants to do that. So you know what they say? Well, I just don't believe that there's really a perfect word of God on the earth today. Well, what does Psalms 12 say? That he said, I'll preserve my word from this generation forever? That means it's on the earth today. And the question is are you going to do what it says, or are you going to make it your final authority? What God says is always the final authority. What he says goes. I heard a preacher say one time, you know, when it comes to creation, I was listening to a sermon this morning. The preacher said, when it comes to creation, all he's got to do is just say the word and everything obeys him. I mean, he said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, you know, and he spoke, and, you know, he made all the whales and all those things. And all you do is speak the word, and everything obeys him, except man. Isn't that something? And the preacher says, in one of these days, he's going to fix that problem, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And so there are a lot of people today, they don't want there to be a final authority. When you hold your Bible, you are holding the inerrant word of God. And because those words are God's words, scriptures are to be your final authority in all matters of faith and practice. They are to be your final authority. Are we going to make what God says our final authority, or are we going to make what man says our final authority? Pharisees had made their tradition the authority over the word of God, and that led them to teach their traditions instead of Bible doctrine. Look at verse 8. It says, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things ye do. As a side note there, all you men say that, listen, it's a woman's job to wash dishes. You better back up and read that right there. Amen. Just throwing that out there to you, okay? We'll just leave that alone, okay? Verse 9, and he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God. Ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. These men were not worried about the truth or learning the truth or teaching the truth. They were more interested in keeping traditions, which had been handed down by their fathers, and making sure that they kept those traditions generation after generation. But the truth is, traditions really don't help anyone spiritually. They don't help anybody. That's the reason why the Lord called them out on it. They're supposed to be spiritual leaders, and if they're teaching the Word of God, the Bible says the Word of God doesn't come back void. That's not just true today, it's always been true. And so these people were supposed to be teaching the Word of God. These people were supposed to be teaching the truth, because that the Word of God is what helps people out. Traditions don't. Them teaching them about, hey, you should wash your hands before you eat according to the traditions of the Father, how's that going to help out anybody spiritually? It's not. But the Word of God does. You say, what are you talking about? Hey, listen, the traditions of men have never saved anybody, but the Word of God sure has. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23 says this, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, watch it, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know how a person gets born again? Not by traditions, not by believing traditions, but by the word of God. The moment you got saved because you believed the gospel, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Where did you find that at? Well, you probably either read it or had somebody tell you that, or you opened your Bible and you saw it either in Romans chapter 10 or you saw it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 or any number of places. But the moment you saw those words, you believed the word of God and you got everlasting life. Why? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's God who gives life. And the only way you're going to get life is through the words of God that comes out of his mouth. Amen? How do you think that Adam became alive the first time? Because God said it. Amen? And he became alive. It's by the word of God that you're born again, that you have everlasting life. I could sit up here and tell you every story in the world, and I could tell you every tradition in the world, and guess what? If you're lost here this morning, me just giving you traditions, you can't be born again like that. You can't get life like that. Hey, listen, I could talk all day long to that table. It's not going to come alive. But didn't the Lord say that if these people didn't say something, that even the rocks would cry out? You know why? Because if God wanted to, he could look at that rock and say, come alive. And it would. But the words of men ain't going to do nothing. Traditions ain't going to do nothing. Traditions are fine, but they can't contradict Scripture. Traditions are fine, but you can't elevate them higher than the Scripture because they aren't going to help you out spiritually. Listen, not only are you born again by the Word of God, but you also grow in grace and knowledge by the Word of God. You grow as a Christian. You become more mature. How do we know that? Because Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by traditions. No, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to grow in faith? Then you got to have the Word of God taught to you, not traditions. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where are you going to get the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ? Not from traditions, but you'll get it from your Bible. And how are you to grow in the grace and knowledge? Through the Word of God. You see, it's the Word of God that's going to help you out spiritually. It's the Word of God that saved you and going to save other people, not traditions. You won't find the knowledge of Jesus Christ in traditions. And traditions like counting the rosary beads or giving so many Hail Marys a day has helped out nobody spiritually. Sure, keeping traditions may make you feel better. They make anybody feel better. But it can do nothing for you spiritually because only Scriptures can do that. These Pharisees taught traditions that contradicted Scripture. They taught that their traditions were the authority over the Word of God. And one last thing that you'll notice where the Pharisees misused their traditions is the Pharisees taught that their traditions was Bible doctrine. In other words, they tried to sell what they were, the traditions they were teaching, they were trying to sell it as Bible doctrine. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, we see Matthew's account of this same event. And again, whenever you're studying your Bible, whenever you read a passage in one of the Gospels, see if you can find that passage in other Gospels and compare those passages together. That way you can see the whole view of what's going on from different points of view of people standing there. That's the reason we call it the Synoptic Gospels. But in Matthew, in what he has to say about this event that took place, because obviously he was there too, Matthew chapter 15, look if you would at verse 8. Jesus says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know what he said they were doing? They were saying that you were teaching the commandments of men, the traditions of men, and you're trying to act like it's Bible. You're trying to sell it as Bible. You're trying to imply that what you're teaching is right out of the Scriptures when it's not. That's called being dishonest. Amen? Teaching for doctrines, commandment of men. These Pharisees made it seem like they were serving God by teaching Scriptures. They were acting as if they were teaching Bible doctrine when they weren't. And today, you know, a lot of pastors and a lot of people in church, they teach traditions and they try to sell it as being scriptural. A lot of people do that. For example, there are some believers today who say the pastor, okay, now I'm going to say something to you, so hang on. There are some people today that say, the pastor's supposed to wear a white shirt. Oh yeah, there are people that say that. And they'll say, well, you know, I'm just trying to talk Bible here with you. A pastor should wear a white shirt. Can anybody find that in Scripture? I tell you, the only place that you will find anywhere close to it, it says that we all have white garments. But that's talking about how we look in the eyes of the Lord. That's talking about us having our sins washed away, and we no longer have those stained garments. But if you want to push that Scripture and you want to bend that Scripture to say that the pastor has to have a white shirt, then everybody in here that's saved better be having on something white come tonight. Amen? I mean, if we're going to go that direction. There's nothing in there that says the pastor has to have a white shirt. That's called tradition. But there are a lot of people today that try to sell that as being scriptural. Here's another one. There are people today that teach that pastors are not supposed to have facial hair. Pastors, well, Pastor, no wonder you said that. Of course, you grow this thing right here out. Well, you know, it's the thing it is. During the COVID, I grew it out. I never had one before. And then I came to church, and then when I decided to shave it off, nobody liked it. They said I went from looking like Colonel Sanders to looking like Mike Pence. So I had to sit there and weigh the two. I was like, you know, Colonel Sanders it is. Amen. But there are some people today that say, well, a pastor ain't supposed to have facial hair. Well, that's not, can you find that in the Bible?
No.
No, you can't find that in the Bible. The truth be known, most if not all the preachers in that Bible had facial hair. If the truth be known. Jesus did. Anybody remember reading about how they plucked out his beard? Pretty hard to pluck out a beard if you ain't got any facial hair. Amen? Now listen, I'm not against the pastor that comes up here clean shaven. I'm not against people having facial hair. What I'm saying is this, is you, if it's a tradition, let's call it tradition. But if it's scripture, let's call it scripture. But let's don't try to take something that's tradition and try to sell it as scripture now. You can't sit there and say, well, I just believe the Bible says that you shouldn't have facial hair. Well, you can believe whatever you want to, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. I heard a preacher one time say, I've given this illustration before, I heard a preacher one time teach that it was a sin for men to wear shorts. And I'm not talking about those horrid 1970s and 80s shorts that, you know, why anybody would wear those things anyway. And I understand too that you know, the Bible does teach that there are certain parts of the body that are not supposed to be exposed. I understand that. But to teach that a person can't wear shorts that go past the knee, you can't find that in the scripture. Can't find it in scripture at all. You say, well, what is it? It's tradition. It's tradition. And that tradition can be based on people's convictions, but it's not scripture. And today we have believers all over the place who think that certain things are wrong according to the Bible when the scripture says nothing about those things being wrong. Just like those Pharisees were trying to say that the disciples were doing wrong when they washed their hands before eating. You know, I'll tell you this little story too. When I was pastoring in Oklahoma City, there were two different independent Baptist colleges there in Oklahoma City. And well, I was actually pastoring 80 miles north of Oklahoma City. But there in Oklahoma City, there were two, and still are, two independent Baptist Bible colleges there. One of those Bible colleges teach that all the ladies are supposed to wear skirts or dresses, and the dress is supposed to come down, or the skirt's supposed to come down past the knee. That's what they teach, okay? The other Bible college there says, now that Bible college over there, they're as liberal, and they're apostate, they've gone crazy because everything they're teaching is wrong. We believe that all the women should wear skirts and dresses, but it should not only go past the knee, it should go all the way down to the ankle. Now listen, folks. Can you find either one of those things in Scripture? It's tradition. I'm not against them having rules at the Bible college. I'm not against that. But let's don't try to sell something as being scripture that's not scripture. I mean, if that's your tradition that you have at your Bible college, okay, that's fine. I mean, you don't have to send your kids to that Bible college. I mean, you don't have to. Or you can choose to. But to sit there and say, well, you know, we're the more biblical ones, and you've been apostate, and you're liberal because you're not doing what we think you should do, that's no different than those Pharisees walking up to those disciples and saying, how in the world, why are you not washing your hands before you eat that bread? Don't you understand? Don't you understand the Word of God? They were implying it was actually the Scriptures. And it wasn't. But they were trying to act like it was. That's dishonest. That's dishonest. Hey, listen, if you have convictions this morning, if you have certain traditions that you keep, listen, as long as they don't contradict the Scriptures, as long as you don't make them to where they're higher in authority than those Scriptures, and as long as you don't try to sell them as being Scripture, you're fine. You're fine. But when you start making mistakes like those Pharisees did, that's where you cross the line. That's where you cross it. And so we got to make sure, folks, that we use the traditions that we have correctly. We can't misuse them like the Pharisees did. Again, it's okay to have certain traditions. It's okay to have Sunday school and children's church. It's okay to have ushers. By the way, that's something that the Lord just put in my mind there. Ushers, that's another one, a tradition. In the Bible, it was just sitting right there. Remember the lady walked by and she only had two mites and she put it in? Didn't say an usher held the thing up to her. So we have traditions. As long as those scriptures, those traditions meet the criteria, we're good. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you again.